Hello and welcome to Cognitive Urbanism. This is Justin Hollander. I am your host. Really happy to have you joining with me, listening in. This is, you're not going to believe this, the 25th episode. I have reached that quarter of 100 mark, and I'm really happy to have now this will be my 25th podcast episode. And those of you who are out there kind of listening, so I've got now quite a lot of content, so hopefully you'll be able to explore and listen to a range. If you haven't guessed it by now, those of you who do listen frequently, my interests are quite eclectic, and so the 25 episodes cover a lot of territory. And actually, if you were listening to the 24th episode, you were learning all about building cities on Mars. So definitely far and wide coverage. But yeah, so thanks so much for those of you who are listeners, and for anyone who has logged on to Apple Podcasts and given a review. You know, really appreciate all that positive feedback. And I've also been recognized because of those positive reviews as one of the top podcasts in urban planning. So really humbling to have taken this podcast so far and really getting a lot of attention. So yeah, so what is today? Today is about something that's very timely. So many of you have been closely following the war in Europe. So in Ukraine, we're now into the fourth year of this war between Russia and Ukraine, and what is really relevant is that just recently, I'm recording this on May 1st, 2025, but what just happened was that the United States government and the Ukrainian government signed an agreement to create something called a Reconstruction Investment Fund. And there's been actually quite a lot of media coverage of this signing. There's been not a lot of public details, but hopefully in the coming weeks and months, the details will come out. But the gist of what was agreed to was that the United States is committing to a post-war role in investing and helping to reconstruct Ukraine. It's suffered quite significantly through this war, and there's been a lot of damage. So what does all this have to do with urban planning, and why am I so keen on it? Well, I'll tell you, because probably about 2 years ago, I got an email from who at that time was my department chair, Professor Julian Adjeman, and he said to me in the message, "Would you be interested in working with this guy?" So the question is, who is this guy? Well, his name was at that time Hennadi Haiko, and he was a professor at the University of the Donbass in Ukraine. And if those of you who follow the conflict over there, the Donbass is the area that was invaded and occupied by Russians very early on in the war. So Professor Haiko was displaced. Him and his family were displaced, and he had to leave his university post. He was able to get situated at another university in Kyiv, the Igor Sikorsky Kyiv Polytechnic Institute. But yeah, so he was reaching out because Tufts University, where I work, participates in a program called Scholars at Risk. And this is a program that's all over the U.S. and I think abroad as well. And it tries to help scholars like Professor Haiko, who have been impacted by things like war, natural disasters outside of their control, and helps them find partnerships and help adjust to continuing their research careers. So this inquiry that came from Professor Heiko eventually made its way to me, and the question was, would I be interested in collaborating with him? And I read a little bit about his work, and the answer was unequivocally yes. I definitely want to find a way to collaborate. So we spent several months really exchanging emails. We had some Zoom calls, and tried to figure out, like, well, where are some of our kind of common interests? And the link to Mars is not really an accident. And he had read my book about Mars and was really interested in some of the ways that I had approached the building of cities and underground below the surface. His background is geoengineering, and he himself actually is quite a leading scholar focusing on the Earth. But so this was our overlapping interest, and so we started to kind of look to see where we might collaborate, and we agreed to look at reconstruction in Ukraine as an area. And anyone who was closely following what was happening in Ukraine, especially in the early period of the war, there was a lot of coverage of Kyiv as the capital, having a very extensive subway system. Those subway platforms underground were bomb shelters, and actually continue to be today. And so the question was, well, what about Odessa? Now, Odessa is the second largest city in Ukraine after Kyiv, yet it has no subway system. So when Odessa came under fire, people were very vulnerable. I mean, of course, people could go to basements or different types of makeshift bomb shelters. But Kyiv was really much better positioned to be, having a very extensive subway network across the city. There was essentially places where, no matter where you were in the city, there was a kind of a guarantee that there would be a place to go underground in the event of attack. So our focus of our research was looking at the development of a underground subway or metro system in Kyiv. I'm sorry, in Odessa. And here we were trying to focus on our kind of overlapping interests around kind of that geoengineering. Like, what does that mean to kind of go down and dig down and create these kind of underground habitats, even though the primary goal would be for transportation, but they would have the secondary goal of being a place of refuge for people in Odessa. So we did this research together. He brought in another colleague, Ilya Savchenko, and really happy to have been able to do this work. We wrote it up. And we just published it, actually, just a couple months ago. It came out in the International Journal of Urban Sciences. This is an article that really kind of looked deeply at that kind of geoengineering quality of Odessa, and then compared different routes. So in the reconstruction of Odessa after the war, there's opportunities, because of the city has not been, I wouldn't say devastated, but there has been some destruction. And so the question is, can you take advantage of that by creating a route for the subway that's going to provide safety and refuge? So, yeah, doing a pretty interesting, Professor Heiko kind of developed this approach using what he talks about, a morphological model, using different types of factors, which I was able to kind of contribute in thinking about what are the factors that you use to calibrate this model. And then it would allow us to identify that one particular metro line that is along what's called a Fontaska Road, that had a better favorability according to some of the metrics. We also were able to recognize that through this analysis that a metro line closer to the coastal district also has some advantages. So, my hope is that this research and this paper can be used in this reconstruction funding process, in this new relationship that the United States and Ukraine have, that it doesn't have to be a blank slate. The government leaders can use this type of research as a baseline to think about, you know, what are some of the post-war recovery priorities that would make sense. And I will say, just in general, the question of, like, where should those investments go, being able to create safe spaces for an urban population, which in general is very exposed, very vulnerable, in the underground subway, it makes a lot of sense. And this is really essentially a lesson that we learned from what happened in Kyiv, that really the subway system provided that safety, that protection. And Odessa deserves that as well. You know, we're all hoping that this war ends soon, and that we're all hoping, I think, that there won't be wars in the future. But, you know, I think history tells us that that's not realistic, and that we need to find ways to essentially harden cities, like create these types of underground refuges that can be there for any city when warfare erupts. So I mean, these are the kind of things that I'm hoping will kind of emerge from this type of research. And, you know, I'm really happy to share it with you and share it via this podcast. And I think I would be remiss to not, while I have your attention, to talk about something very much related, which is another research article that I published that I talked about I have a Substack, but that goes by the same name as this podcast, also called Cognitive Urbanism, and I wrote a little bit about it on my Substack. So you want to check that out. But yeah, I mean, I was kind of grappling with a lot of the same questions that Professor Heiko and I were dealing with. But here, my research really kind of looked more broadly at this question of what role urban planners have in the business of war. I mean, what is the connection between war and urban planning? And so, yeah, I think I made a lot of progress in at least advancing my own thinking. And I believe that the paper can be valuable to others as we're thinking about both this question of, like, what does it mean to do urban planning research in the context of this type of violence and military action. And also in the education sphere, you know, in addition to doing research, I also teach urban planning. And so I have begun in my teaching to make war and military action more of an explicit topic that we as a classroom kind of grapple with. So for anyone who is in that space, is in doing teaching and research, I think that the article can be useful. Anyone else, and you know, you're just kind of interested in these topics, I hope you do read that article, and I'll give you the title. Yes. What did I call this one? Okay, here it is. Urban Planning as a Project of National Military Violence in Ukraine and Globally. And this one was also published pretty recently, just a couple months ago, in a journal called Planning, Practice, and Research. Great. Well, again, so thank you so much for listening to this. And if you haven't yet subscribed, you know, please subscribe. So, you know, what'll happen, you'll get alerted when these new episodes come out. They don't come out very often, but I do try to keep on top of this and continuing to provide insights and updates on the kind of stuff that I'm working on. So if you have any comments or questions, I definitely welcome that. Just send me an email. And I hope you have a great day. Thank you.